Hey, this is John Bollinger with Premier Guitar in Nashville, Tennessee at the Mercy Lounge, and I'm here with rock legend Andy Gill. Man, thanks so much for joining
us. Hello, yeah, nice to see you.
So why don't we talk about your rig a little bit. Can we start with this guitar?
Yeah.
Tell me about this.
It's one of those, I got this in the kind of late 80s. These are the Lace pickups.
Oh, right.
Somebody told me that Fender don't actually make this because somebody else makes them, which I'm confused about, but it's just slightly, you know, like Strats from the 70s can be a bit buzzy.
Yeah.
You know, they're always picking up
right
stuff, and the cool thing about this is it's not so buzzy, but it kind of sounds the same.
Sure.
It's in desperate need of a refret.
High miles on this guitar, I imagine.
Yeah, no, it needs a bit of a refret. Yeah.
So great. And is this your current number one?
It's been my number one for a long time. I've got a 335, a Gibson 335, which I really like. It's got such a, I don't know how to describe it really. I mean, there's more gain to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more, it's a bit sort of fatter, you know. Obviously, the Fender is
sure
quite shrill,
yeah,
which I like.
Yeah,
but I also like the other thing about the 335. And there was a while in the, I guess the early 90s when that's what I used to play on stage for a while.
Right. Yeah. That was such a huge tone. I mean, you covered a lot of sonic space in Gang of Four.
Yeah. And it's kind of looks nice too.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's really nice.
Now
I got it in. I picked it up. There was a magazine called The Recycler in LA where I was living at the time, and I used to just read it all the time, looking for one. And then I went and got it, and it cost me about $250.
Wow.
And this beautiful, pristine, mid-70s guitar.
Oh, how great! How great! Do you know on this one? Do you live pretty much on the humbucker?
Yeah, I'm pretty much on that all the time, and yeah, just one of them.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes I go two.
Oh, so it gives you the option of going between the single coil and the humbucker on that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah. Okay. Very cool. And you're not using the whammy bar on this?
No. There's really only a couple of songs that get whammy bar treatment, and the song, which is called Love Like Anthrax.
Yeah, it's in your set.
That gets banged around a bit, so I used to be breaking guitars that I really liked, and one day the penny dropped, and I was like, this is stupid. Maybe just bang around a cheap guitar. So that's what I do. So you get through a few of them,
yeah,
and they get scratched, tossed around, broken.
Sure.
But I use a whammy on that.
Do you find yourself, you're carrying this Reverend as well.
Yeah.
Tour as well. Oops, excuse me.
With that spectacularly ugly Strat.
Right. Subtle, yeah. So do you change guitars when you, for songs, or just change when you wear one?
If one's horrendously out of tune and it's, you know, and you don't want to stop the set, then I'll swap it. But sometimes it doesn't get used at all, but usually does, yeah. And I like it very much, you know, and it's quite a unique combination of pickups, you know,
the P90, that's
yeah,
great. And do you know the model of this Reverend?
I don't.
I don't either. But nonetheless, very cool.
But you know, I went to the shop, and there were very nice people there, and you know, tried out all the guitars and the basses as well.
Yeah,
I got a 5-string bass from them.
Oh, cool.
That I used to kind of write on.
Okay, so this is a current number one. This is a number two. Now, what's another favorite guitar that you've?
Well, that'd be the Magneto, which I'm quite fond of. It's kind of similar, and it's got some active electronics in it, and which I like very much.
Sure.
Well made.
Where's that company based?
I have no idea.
You just play them.
I just play it. Yeah.
Right.
I didn't go to their. I think it's American.
Magneto, okay. Yeah. Magneto, cool, we'll check them out. Yeah. Cool, okay, that covers guitars. Now let's talk about the amps you're using.
Mm-hmm.
So
I guess they're, you know, I suppose they're based on like Fender, they certainly look like them, don't they?
Sure, yeah, basement.
But they sound quite different.
Yeah.
And what's really nice about these is that they've got two, obviously they've got an independent master volume control, but you've also got a pre and a post gain.
Oh yeah.
And that's, I don't know, I haven't, you probably know more than I do, but I haven't seen that on other amps.
Mm-hmm.
That, and the pre obviously just gives more gain and more distortion.
Yeah.
And the post gives you that as well, but of a different kind, a kind of fatter, more rounded sort of push to it. And that kind of control you don't have on Fenders.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, so, I mean, if they can't get a PV, if we go to a gig in Russia or something and they can't get the PV, then I would have the Fender, oh God, what's it called? The one that's got the gain on it.
Like the Blues DeVille or
Blues
DeLuxe?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's, it's fun. It's interesting because...
But it's only got one drive on it.
Yes.
It doesn't have the pre and post.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't get on with, what's it called? The Fender Classic, or what's it called? The 2x12.
The Twins and
Fender
the...
Fender Twins.
Yeah.
I don't get on with that because you have to turn it up so loud before it you get any gain. So I don't understand why there's no gain control on it.
And you're getting a lot of your dirt from the amps, right?
Well, it's complicated.
Clean. Yeah, that's...
How much time you got?
Yeah, we got some time. So you're using a MIDI rig with this, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, let's kind of segue, and it's all kind of connected, but tell me the basics of your tone. So Strat, these two classic 50s, and then the MIDI thing.
I mean, I used to... I mean, even in around 1990, I had some MIDI stuff that was in a rack.
Oh, okay.
And it was just like one foot switch on the floor.
Sure.
I mean, obviously, that's a rack. That's an array of foot pedals.
Sure.
But I don't kind of get on with that very well because I don't want to be dancing around hitting lots of buttons.
Yeah.
So the way this works is basically when I did the last album, not the last album, which is the live album, but this last studio album, which is called What Happens Next, I was DI-ing the guitar a lot of the time.
Really?
Just not even using an amp. I was DI-ing it and just putting all kinds of stuff on it.
Wow.
Plugins on it.
Yeah.
Just all sorts of stuff. Until sometimes there'd be a distortion thing and then another distortion thing and then another distortion thing until the guitar was kind of fighting to be heard, which I sort of quite liked. So in order to play those songs, I kind of had to use a laptop with the plugins, with those plugins on it.
Oh, wow.
So once I started doing that, I thought, well, the whole thing can be done like that. So each song has got its set of presets. And I think the most has got like four different presets.
Okay.
And a lot of songs use two or three.
Do you want to, can I pick this up and show them right quick? So this is, so you're going song by song through your MIDI control.
Well, buttons. Matt is loading up the new song. So we finish a song, he loads up the next one. And most of them load up pretty fast.
Yeah.
And then we're good to go. There's a couple that take, there's one that takes 30 seconds to load up. Because there's so many plugins on it and stuff. But and that, the idea was to use the amps more as just like reference speakers in a way.
Sure, so just to monitor, give you that.
That was kind of the idea, but it never quite works out like that because amps always bring their own tonality to it. So it's always a bit of fiddling around just to kind of get it Yeah, these PVs are adding a certain amount of grit, but a lot of it's coming from the laptop.
Huh. Wow, that is completely different than I imagined, because in Gang of Four, what I imagined was, I've seen like you with the 335, and it just sounded like a big, loud, mm-hmm. ampy mm-hmm. tone.
A 335?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, when I was using the 335, I definitely wasn't using the laptop. The laptop is a relatively, I've been using it for the last couple of years.
Okay.
And before that, various combinations of
things. So it's evolved over the years.
Yeah.
I guess that's,
And the laptop thing sounds easier than it is. There's a lot of, especially on the first tour we used it on, which I think was a couple of years ago in the States, it was a bit of a nightmare. I mean, pretty much every sound check we'd be reprogramming and all of that stuff.
Has it become a little bit?
Yeah, it's become a bit easier.
Yeah. So what programs are you running to kind of get your basic sounds? Is it just one of your recording programs that you've?
Do you mean like the different plugins?
Yeah.
I've kind of lost track, really.
Kind of different bundles.
There's different things, different sound toys, and some of it is just like tremolos and reverbs.
Right.
That are logic, come with logic, you know.
Right.
And some of the basic EQs and stuff.
Right. The audio suite in Logic is amazing.
Yeah.
All those, yeah, they're incredible.
And there's a really nice sort of tape delay emulation by Audio Damage, I think they're called, mm-hmm. Which gets used quite a lot in a couple of songs. And various distortion things by Isotope.
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah, and stuff like that.
That's a really cool way to do it, to build your songs in the studio with those plugins and then translate them mm-hmm. live. Because it's almost impossible. It never really translates, but that's a great way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, was that just kind of it? You wanted to get it closer to what the album sounded like?
And I mean, like a song like Where the Nightingale Sings that we did in soundcheck, you know, it kind of depends, that those sounds and effects, the song kind of, you know, I couldn't imagine doing it without them.
Sure.
Basically. So I don't really know how else you would do it. I mean, I know there are dedicated like computers for live that some people use, but I mean, it's just as easy to go with a laptop.
Yeah. Are they front of house? Are they combining the amps and a line feed from the
they've got the amps, they've got the mics, and they've got the line well. They've got the DI.
Yeah, that explains it, because it does sound huge out front.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, good. Mm. Yeah. So, are you? How long is this tour going? How long are you in the States on this run? Are you...
exhaustion.
Yeah. Never ending. You're like, are you always on tour?
No. I wouldn't be able to cope. We're about halfway through. Are we about halfway through, Matt?
Yeah, about 3 weeks left.
Yeah. We're what?
3 weeks
left. Oh,
three weeks left?
Oh, you're here for a while. Yeah. Yeah.
You're joking.
2 weeks.
Is that all? It feels like 6 months.
That's great. Well, look, enjoy the tour. I'm so glad you took the time to talk to us.
All right.
Yeah.
Pleasure.
It's John Bolger. Till next time.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.